Facebook finally takes action against hate speech in Myanmar, but the social network's political power is only growing. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Facebook is one of the only sources of news in Myanmar, where the government has engaged in what the UN calls serious human rights abuses against its minority Rohingya population. Politicians and activists have been warning Facebook for years that hate speech and misinformation on its platform has helped spread violence against the Rohingya. In 2014, for example, false messages helped create a riot that killed two people. This week, Facebook finally did ban some people and groups, including the country's commander-in-chief. Zeynep Tufekci studies the impact of technology on society and politics. She says Facebook went into Myanmar with just tech in mind.
But they should have had as many people, if not more, worrying about environments without independent press, environments without independent judiciary, environments with ethnic tensions. They should have worried about low institution environments as much as low tech environments, because they keep thinking they're just in the technology business. They're in the people business.
So how responsible is Facebook for the kind of current level of violence and hate speech that we've seen in Myanmar over the last several years?
Obviously, like anything else complex, this is not on any one vector. But I think it's undeniable at this point that the spread of digitization and the very rapid spread of internet in Myanmar has been a very important part of facilitating the spread of hate speech and thus violence. And in the case of Myanmar, basically, the internet is Facebook. There is not really this huge, big ecology of the internet. So it's very much also on Facebook in terms of the communication side of it.
And the situation that you describe in Myanmar, at least with respect to news delivery and how Facebook essentially is the internet there, is likely to be replicated and is being replicated in other countries. Is it an argument that Facebook needs to continue to be responsive? And do you have any confidence that they will be?
So in an ideal world, it wouldn't be just up to Facebook. It really is too big a responsibility for any one company to shoulder, right? We found ourselves in this historic moment when a company that's headquartered in, you know, a suburb of San Francisco, basically, is making these huge decisions for country after country. And this is not, the Myanmar is the most extreme case, but we have, as billions of new people come online, we have many cases like this where Facebook has become the bottleneck for spreading information within a country. And sometimes there's a lot of ethnic tensions within that country. Sometimes there's a lot of instability in that country. And what Facebook bans, what Facebook's algorithm amplifies, what Facebook allows, all those have become almost deciding factors in what people get to see. And that's a very challenging moment.
Zeynep Tufekci is an associate professor at the University of North Carolina. Facebook said earlier this month that it does have 60 Burmese-speaking moderators working on its platform and is trying to hire more. It said it's combining human efforts with artificial intelligence. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.